right. It's another Monday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Monday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 812-333-2665. Lots to talk about tonight. Colts fans, you can all run for the hills and scream until your head's coming off. They're going to go 0-16, and Andrew Luck isn't going to play. Well, we don't know all that, but the sky is falling after preseason game number one. They lose to the Lions 24-10, and not a heck of a lot comes out of that except for the fact that it's preseason, and they did talk to Jim Irsay and Chris Ballard, which is probably the most interesting part of the entire broadcast. Also, we got a new PGA champion. He is a first-time major winner, Justin Thomas, to put three out of the four major winners this year as first-time major winners, and a general trend over the last couple years. We'll talk a little bit of golf here in a little while, and of course, we got high school and college camps, football camps well underway and heading towards their first games of the season. Our high school football season starts this Friday night. You'll hear more about it here tonight and during the course of the week. But we start off with the Colts up in Indianapolis. The window is open. The Colts are wearing white. Chris Ballard got on the air and everything, and Jim Irsay came out afterwards and met the press. The big news was not necessarily news, and that was, of course, Andrew Luck did not dress or play. The bigger news, though, was off the course or off the field, and it was with Jim Irsay, and that was him saying that that he believes that Andrew Luck will be ready for the beginning of the season, but not for the first game of the season, which, Glass, last I checked, is technically the beginning of the season. I don't want to get too pedantic about this whole thing, but how about you just say, you know what, we're playing it week by week and day by day because we're not exactly sure and we think he's on the right schedule and he'll be ready when he's ready.
That's exactly what they said, but just in, well, that's exactly what he said, just in some different way of saying it. He's throwing the football, but he's not throwing the football at an NFL rate.
Right.
So people wanted to know if he's throwing or not. If
he's at the fair, he's throwing it through the hoops.
If he's playing lob catch with somebody just to keep the movement going, mm-hmm. great. That's not throwing 30-yard outs and bombs to T.Y. Hilton. Right. So that is one thing. Throwing is positive. Why? Well, because if he wasn't throwing, there'd be a whole other different set of questions.
It's better than not throwing.
And where he is in his recovery sounds to be on schedule, and it sounds like if everything goes according to schedule, there is a chance, if that does happen, that he would be able, perhaps, to play in week number one. If there's a minor setback, if there's pain, if there's I don't know what works with this. We didn't hear all those details, but it makes sense for them to say there is no guarantee that he'll play week one or whenever it's going to be, because you just don't know. You can't look ahead. We're going to talk about that when we talk about golf, too. I always have people say, hey, it's February. What do you think? Who's going to win the four majors this year?
Right. How do you know?
Well, I would have told you Dustin Johnson. How did he work out? Absolutely. Well, he fell down the stairs and barely made a cut the rest of the time. Yeah. And Rory McIlroy played soccer and broke his. But the point is, you just don't know, and you can't see into the future. So there's no point in Irsay saying he's ready to go, he's our starter week one. And then when he's not, all you have is that is the talk. And it's not constructive. It doesn't do anything there.
No, it's just the way Jim seems at odd times to show up and give an answer, he thinks.
But I think
it doesn't really end up being an answer, and then you just say, what did he say?
I think it's good for the fans to hear something, and whether they like the answer or not, well, that's completely up to the fan.
Right.
But you got an update, not from sources inside the locker room.
The president.
You got it from the guy that owns the football team. So I would think that's a pretty good start. It's not the greatest news you want to hear. I think Colts fans should be happy for two reasons. Number one, they didn't sign a backup quarterback, regardless of what his price tag was.
Yeah.
That tells me he's on the right track, and they're not going to be too worried about it. Number two, he's throwing. That's very, very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
People think once you're injured and uninjured, you go back to 100% playing. I don't think that's the case. You have to play your way back into that. You have to play your way back into contact. You have to play your way back into rhythm. And at least he is physically throwing the football. So that is positive news if you're a Colts fan. You put those two together, and that's your hope for the future. And if Andrew Luck isn't going to be your quarterback, you've seen what the Colts have done without him. Matt Hasselbeck is not there. Josh Freeman is not there. Ryan Lindley is not there. You have Scott Tolzien, and that's what they're going with. So I don't think it's as severe as we might think or want to think, because they didn't solve that issue. There are quarterbacks. There were quarterbacks out there that, again, they're going to command money. These guys aren't going to come up, show up and play and then sit the rest of the year when luck comes back for pennies to have a chance at it.
No, I mean, that's the pragmatic part. Is anybody who wants to play is going to want a little money and isn't going to want only a guarantee of 1 week?
Exactly right. Jay Cutler just got a full season with the Dolphins for $10 million. So that makes sense because that's the going rate if you want a guy to play 16 games.
Right.
Some of these guys that are on the sideline, I don't care if it's Kaepernick, I don't care who it is, but there are always guys. There are guys every year you see show up in week three or four after somebody gets hurt. Mm-hmm. They wait around to play. They don't wait around to back up. They don't need to back up. Most quarterbacks in this league have made some pretty good money.
Yeah.
They don't need to rush out and start taking snaps with the third team just to try and make the show there. If you're the Colts, the positive news is his rehab has not been hindered. It has not been set back. There have not been delays. There have not been issues.
That we know.
I think exactly right. And I don't think Ursay would have wasted our time with subterfuge on that because I don't think he operates that way. I think if anything, he's too truthful to a fault. I think he wears it on his sleeve a little too much.
He doesn't seem to try to come out and throw baloney all over the place.
Right.
You know?
Now he
tried a little hard sometimes with other stuff.
He does. It may be little front office moves, things like that. That's fine. But from a player personnel standpoint, that's good news for Colts fans because they know without Andrew Luck, this team is going to struggle. Most teams, if they have that financial commitment to a quarterback and he is not playing, are going to struggle.
Yeah.
It's hard to replace that playing ability, and it's obviously hard to replace that in such a short time window. Yes, we knew he had surgery. I think when you look back at all this, he has surgery in February, correct?
Yes, I believe so.
He was hurt, and he said, hey, look, I'm going to take...
I mean, it's been almost two years since he was hurt.
I'm going to take care of this, and I'm going to get it done. They knew from February 1... or whatever the day was, what this process was going to be. Mm-hmm. They haven't deviated from it. That's what makes me okay as a Colts fan. They haven't gone out and signed 15 other quarterbacks to shove them in here and try to get them ready to go.
There is nothing that appears like panic.
That's exactly right.
I mean,
it does seem pragmatic.
The Ursay way of doing certain things when it comes to information is bizarre sometimes. I mean, you just have to admit that as a fact. I do like that he's more willing to try to give you some information than not.
I'll show you some panic.
But it is bizarre. But it's not panic. It's not, we got to try this guy and he breaks his knee and now we're screwed there. And so we got to try the next guy. And here's your example.
The Colts had to go out and get Trent Richardson for a first-round draft pick. That was panic.
Remember a couple years ago, we had Kerry Collins for 2 weeks.
Yep.
I mean, that was end of the season. Oh, crap, we need something. It was Kerry Collins who broke his knee in the first game, and you're done.
There you go.
I mean, and that's but dying at the time because you didn't have any
panicking
options.
Panicking is signing Trent Richardson for a first-round draft pick. You're hoping a guy that who wasn't lighting the NFL on fire was all of a sudden going to be first-round draft pick material. That to me is panicking. You didn't see that in the situation.
Yeah.
So ipso facto, I'm suggesting that the Colts are on a pretty good track. And so is Andrew Luck, and that's what's exciting about it. Because if you watch any of that football game, and I watched the first half twice. It was tough. It was tough to see because, number one, Andrew Luck isn't the only Colts injury problem.
Right.
He is a major part of that. There's no underestimating or underwhelming that side.
Ryan
of it.
Kelly, the center, it was a first round draft pick last year. He's been out or will be out for a couple
hurt
weeks
again.
Now.
Yeah. Hurt last year at the shoulder. Hurt this year with
Joe
the foot.
Hegg didn't play in that game. Those are two starters right now.
Keep going. There's three or four other guys that didn't play. Bostic broke his finger, had a metal plate stuck back into it. So that's another issue. But again, it gave other guys chances to play. And when you watch a preseason NFL game, I think that there are things to watch. I think it's fringe guys, somebody looking to play their way into a position, someone playing their way into a spot. Quincy Wilson had 20 balls thrown at him during that game.
Yeah.
That was the best thing you could ever happen for a rookie quarterback. I don't care how many touchdowns.
Big kid made a couple touchdown passes against him and pushed him around a little bit. But you know what? He stayed physical with him. He got beat a couple times. But you're right. It's good to see those guys get out there. Like we talked a little bit about Sean Spence. Not that he
has a nice game.
That he was in there quite a bit and quite a bit early. Terrell
Basham
got in there in the second or third series of the game. You saw these guys right off the bat.
TJ Green almost
had a sack. Anthony Walker started the game at linebacker. So, I mean, you saw these guys right away.
Jackson came out of nowhere and made a ton of plays to start the game.
Matthias Farley, who now is one of your starting safeties for the time being. I mean, you got to see these guys out
you
there.
You do. And the one problem with the Colts defense, again, was every other play was for 15 or more yards.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It didn't matter who was on the field. And somebody joked, well, it's early. It's just preseason. Well, it was Jake Ruddock.
Right.
It wasn't Matthew Stafford.
Well, the best play of the game was the break on the ball Avante Davis had to pop the ball up in
first
the air
drive.
And John Simon. I mean, those are your veteran Pro Bowler in Avante Davis, and those are one of your veteran signers that you expect to make some plays for you.
And they did.
In John Simon. And so you get him on, you make a play right off the bat, and you get him a heck off the field for the rest of the night.
I thought the most interesting part of that game was how much the Colts did show on defense. They did show some delayed blitzes. They did show some safety blitzes, some corner. They kind of mixed it up. But I think if you want to be an aggressive football team, and that's been the theme of this camp, that
you got to practice it.
Well, I tell
some
you what,
it, I mean, at least.
It's hard to talk about being aggressive when you're not aggressive,
right?
And if you watch a game, all Rick Venturi kept pointing out was vanilla Detroit, vanilla Detroit, vanilla. Mm-hmm. Well, that's Detroit. Don't worry about
that's fine. Yeah.
That doesn't mean Indianapolis has to play that way. So the Colts, they got after it a little bit, but still, some things make you itch. All of a sudden, I don't think the Pat McAfee is going to be missed, quote unquote. He was a stylish punter. He
was a tremendous punter.
He was a tremendous punter.
Well, Jeff Locke ought to be fine at the end.
He was, and he had a couple that you said, gee whiz.
Yeah.
And then they let the backup punter try, and you just sit there shaking your head and scratching your head. Chester Rogers fielding the punt on the 3-yard line, trying to make the team as a third receiver.
Yeah.
I mean, but again, you just keep adding up these little bitty things, and it makes you itch if you're a Colts fan. But you do have to remember one thing. Jeff Locke isn't going anywhere. Here's your punter. He was signed to be your punter. You have Adam Vinatieri as your kicker. That's not the issue. Who returns punts for the Colts has never kept them from a Super Bowl. It's never kept them from winning the division. That hasn't been the case. But you know what? It doesn't help when you stick an offense that maybe wasn't firing in all cylinders. But that's going to be different when Andrew Luck's your quarterback. But I don't think any quarterback likes to start a drive on their own 7-yard line because of a bad decision.
Yeah.
But those are little things you would look at. Everybody's talked about how great Chester Rogers has been in camp and doing all these other things. Well, you put the lights on in the game, and it costs you possession. Detroit gets the ball back at the 40-yard line.
That's not going to cost him a roster spot unless he does
it
every punt that comes to him.
Well,
I mean,
but you're
remember,
more valuable if you can do more things.
Remember Philip Dorsett, the first game he ever played here in Colts, fumbled the ball, and you know, as a punt returner, and he didn't play. The punt return the rest of the year.
They stick a rookie out in a rainstorm in Buffalo and say, go catch it.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
But he didn't, and that's the point. But to Philip Dorsett, he's hurt. He's got hamstring problems. Can't get on the field.
Yeah.
That's not good. What round was he drafted in?
Yeah, right.
So you keep checking off these boxes and checking off these boxes. It almost sounds like Andrew Luck, come save us. This is what you have to deal with. The running backs, guess what? Draft pick, the Matt kid.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's hurt.
Yep.
And practiced in 6 days. Can't play.
Yep.
Should we go on? Just it's the constant carousel. But this is why these preseason games are important, because you're going to have injuries throughout the year, and you're going to have guys that need to fill the roster. You're going to need special teams guys that not just field punts, that block and cover them, kickoff teams that block and cover, extra point teams, you name it. All these positions are up for grabs right now, and guys that can do more and guys that can make plays multiple ways are going to be the guys that help out. But you know what? The guy catching passes in the third and fourth, I don't care.
No.
The running back scoring a touchdown the last – nice. Good for them.
I'm nerdy enough that I like to see guys that have been there a year or two improve and whether they'll make the team again.
Yeah.
And because there's a couple names that get interesting to me, like a Josh Ferguson, because of the way they talked about this kid at running back. Is he going to be healthy? Is he going to have
the
promise?
Did he carry the ball once?
I don't recall that he did, no.
So and they must be saving him because everybody else is hurt.
And last year, I mean, they put him in spot parts only because he could not pass block.
Could
but then they also stuck him out there on special teams and made him run around on special teams. So this is a kid that came in thinking I'm a star running back and immediately got re-invited to the NFL. Welcome to the NFL, buddy. Get out there and cover punts real quick. So those kind of things, they're interesting, but you know it's hard to follow all of them in games one and two because there's so many of them.
And
you know 80% of those guys that you're seeing in the second half of this game aren't even going to make the team.
They're not. And the other problem with the Colts, you talked about Ryan Kelly being hurt, the free agent backup that they brought in to play in case Ryan Kelly got hurt. He hasn't played in 2 weeks because he has a Schwenke.
Yeah.
He has a foot problem. So you have free agent off the street snapping the ball, calling the lines.
Mm-hmm.
You wonder why they didn't block well. You wonder why there are guys in the backfield all night. There's a multiple reasons why. What, if anything, were the bright spots of this scrimmage?
Defense.
Yeah, to a degree.
I mean,
too many big plays, but they did. They made
some
good plays, but a lot of big plays as well.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Is this going to be a risk-reward kind of defense? I don't know what Ted Monachino thinks. I should have read his thoughts afterwards and saw what he thought. But, I think this is more of a focus on how did Quincy Wilson play? Did Malik Hooker keep up with the speed of the game? Did Terrell Basham did he grade out on film? That's the stuff I want to hear later in the week after they break it down and take a look at it. Because sometimes we're watching too many – things. And that's the hardest thing with football. There's 22 guys running around out there. Yeah. It's hard to focus on a matchup or two here or there because mm-hmm. your eyes always follow the ball. Yeah. They always go where the ball is because that's the exciting part of it. And you want to know how the film looked. And I think that's the most important part. So we'll be watching the press conferences later in the week before the Dallas game. Hey, who did you see that popped up?
Yeah.
Maybe that graded out on film that maybe we didn't pick up on watching the game.
So story of the night for the Colts. It's the end of the world as we know it. And Jim Irsay feels fine.
The story for the Colts is Andrew Luck is not behind schedule.
Yeah.
Andrew Luck is not hurting. And Andrew Luck is throwing. For me, that's the takeaway from this. Thank you, Jim Irsay, for the update.
And Andrew Luck may not start the season. And guess what? This football team isn't very good if he's not out there. That's the reality. But we'll deal with that as it comes along. Got to take a quick
break.
Another
month.
812-333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. You're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 812-333-2665 is your phone number. Some programming notes for you. We have Reds baseball the next three nights. 8 o'clock are the first pitches each of the next three nights as they are in Chicago to face the Cubbies. So that's tonight, tomorrow, and Wednesday. So stick around here on WGCL. Saturday we'll have Colts once again. Preseason game. They are on the road at Dallas. Broadcast starts at 6 o'clock for that. Kickoff is 7 o'clock for Colts at Dallas on Saturday night. And Friday night starts our high school football season. And we head up to Brownsburg to show the South Panthers, the number 3 ranked South Panthers, on the road at Brownsburg. 7 o'clock is kickoff. 6:30 is Chalk Talk. This Friday night, you can see the entire schedule of high school football on WGCLradio.com. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Again, the big news from the other night, or from Sunday, rather, is Andrew Luck and the fact that Jim Irsay came out and said that he's doing okay. He's apparently on schedule, quote-unquote, but may not be ready for that first game, but should be ready, I guess, shortly thereafter. Let's deal with the reality here, just so you kind of set the basis. If this team puts Scott Tolzien or Stephen Morris at quarterback to start any football games in the regular season of the NFL, it's in a big hole right off the bat. This team is built around Andrew Luck, just like most teams that are in the NFL are built around a big quarterback. If they're winning a lot of games, there's usually a stud quarterback out there. Not many can deal with the loss of one of those stud quarterbacks. This football team right now is very questionable on the offensive side of the ball. In that situation, can its defense keep it in a game? That's kind of what I got to find out here in the preseason.
The good news.
There's a lot of personnel change there.
Is their schedule is very favorable to get started. Going to Los Angeles to take on the Rams. Let's be aware of what the Rams are and what they aren't. Who's the Rams head coach now? It's not Jeff Fisher anymore. He got fired, didn't he?
Gosh.
So, I mean, who's in charge of that operation? Who's their quarterback? Jared Goff? Some other guy? It wasn't him last year. He couldn't even get on the field.
Right.
So the Rams have issues as well. They just traded for Sammy Watkins from Buffalo. So mm-hmm. I know they've added a playmaker in that department. Colts have seen Watkins, saw Watkins.
Yep.
That's not a new thing to them. But what you have to think of if you're a Colts fan is one more week of Andrew Luck completely healing or taking a chance and putting him in the lineup and he gets hurt and he's out for the rest of the year doesn't make sense. You'd rather have Andrew Luck for the final 15 games mm-hmm. than to play one. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
I don't think the Colts have shown anything throughout this process that shows they're going to jeopardize, hurry, force him back in for maybe a game or two.
And as you pointed out, I mean, the Rams last year were atrocious on offense.
They were.
I mean, atrocious.
So that'll help the Colts defense get settled.
They bring the Cardinals to town the following weekend, the Browns to town the following weekend after that.
See?
They go to Seattle, and then they've got the 49ers in town. So that's four games out of five that you can deal with, and you might be able to get. I mean, none of those teams have a great offense. The Cardinals can put up some numbers, maybe. But, you know, that's here. Again, and a lot depends on that defense and what's on there.
And the other thing you have to remember as well, the Colts went 8-8 without Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
Okay. So they have a point of reference where this can be done before.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not – sorry about your fantasy team, I guess is what I'm trying to say. But 8-8 without Andrew Luck is something. I don't want to try it every season.
Right.
I don't want to prove it like you have to do in horse. We have to make it twice.
He played most of the season, obviously, but yeah.
To finish up and get through that with guys off the street, Colts words not mine,
mm-hmm.
guys step up and make plays. And I think most of these guys playing on the Colts defense for the most part, are all on tight contracts in prove-it years.
Yeah.
So if they're going to think, well, I'll just let Andrew Luck fix this when he gets back, well, there might not be time for that to get back. So when you look at this, I think it's short-term loss for long-term gain. This whole process, Andrew Luck had the surgery, elective surgery, to make himself healthy and better for the long term.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't force this back in. It would be silly to do so. Let him get healthy. If the Colts are 2-2, 1-3, and Andrew Luck is back, you have a better chance of winning 70% of your next games
than
you do moving forward. So I think you have to keep it in some relative terms here, because if he's not back week one or week two, and that's part of the schedule, they're just not willing to tell us right now. I'm okay with that, because this is not going to be a lingering issue. You told me he played 2 years through this.
Yeah.
2 years.
Yeah, it was like October 15. Yeah.
I mean, he did that to try to get through this and mm-hmm. win football games, and decided, well, it's not going to happen. So let's not hurry it back because you're upset it's 0-2.
And
that's not the way to think about this.
Looking at the schedule, the last couple days of October, they go to Cincinnati. They come back the next week at Texas. Or at the Texans, rather, and then the Steelers at home, they have their bye, and then they come back from that with the Titans at home, at Jacksonville, at Buffalo, Broncos at home, at Ravens, home to Texans. So that's a very important last six games.
That's where
and
he
the
needs
three
to
before
be
that. So that's your final nine with a bye shoved in there. You know, you're talking the end of October is when you need to make sure Andrew Luck is really hitting on all
you
cylinders.
You can't be 0-6 going into that
you
stretch.
Cannot.
I understand that, and I'm not suggesting that. But Chris Ballard.
But the schedule before that does not make you tremble. It doesn't.
And that might be a reason.
Rams, Cards, Browns, Hawks, Seahawks rather, 49ers, Titans, Jaguars.
That might be a reason that they planned it when they planned it, mm-hmm. knowing if he had to come back, that'd be the issue. Chris Ballard's in his first year in charge of all of this, both sides of the ball, offense, defense, personnel, you name it. He can't be 0-6 to start.
No.
He can't be 0-5 to start.
No.
He can't be 0-4 to start.
With all the changes that were necessary on that defense and that he made – because, I mean, granted, I'm all for this. I'm not criticizing him on this. He needed to turn over that roster on the defensive side, and he has done so. It's got to get something right. It doesn't have to be top five right off the bat. It's got to get something right, though.
Did he go out and get a pass rusher? Kinda.
Yeah.
Shared? Kinda. Didn't set the edge yesterday. Guy goes 20 yards around the side.
Yeah,
okay. That's part of it. The other part of it is they've elected to go with Frank Gore at running back.
Yeah.
And if you're going to have problems at quarterback –
yeah.
And Frank Gore at 34 or whatever he is your answer at your running back situation.
Right.
Again, that falls squarely on Chris Ballard's shoulders if Andrew Luck had surgery on February 1st.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Ballard had 4 months to figure out whether it was in the draft, in a trade, in mm-hmm. free agency, in waiver pickups, whatever it was. You could say they addressed it in the draft with the Matt kid from South Florida.
Right.
Who's hurt.
At least tried.
Okay.
Something.
Fifth round draft picks. Running backs are a dime a dozen. Mm-hmm. I hear this all the time.
Yeah.
Okay, you have that's what you've decided to go with.
Well, you
could have
made other pickups, too.
That's what you've decided to go with at running back.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of pressure all over the Colts football. Putting that all on Andrew Luck, I don't think is fair. It's not. Is he helpful? Absolutely. Why? He touches the ball every play. That's why the quarterback is the most revered, criticized, praised, you name any adjective you want to go with it. They mm-hmm. handle the ball every single play. They call the offense for the most part. They handle the play at the line of scrimmage. And when you don't have a premium one and you haven't surrounded your backup that you've chosen to go with, instead of Jay Cutler, Colin Kaepernick, mm-hmm. add washed-up quarterback here for $5, $6 million,
right.
You haven't done that. You haven't bolstered your running back stable with a veteran back that can play and carry at that level. That tells me Chris Ballard either is very confident in this recovery process. That's my extrapolation from it.
Yeah. You can say that, yeah. No
and,
question.
And the team he's going to put on the field that performs will tell us the confidence level he has in the defense with this competition and this aggressive camp, and then the offense. Because having a wide receiver in T.Y. Hilton that gets as much money as he does,
mm-hmm.
if he doesn't get the ball, he's worthless.
Yeah, exactly right.
He can't put any pressure on defense if nobody can throw the ball.
Long. I mean,
yeah. Go what? Go back to the bench.
We talked about why a veteran quarterback, you know, if Andrew Luck is really this close, is maybe not a good investment and not a wise investment.
That's the key word.
And not a smart thing for your football club, you know, because it can depend. I mean, if a guy comes in thinking he's getting the job, he knows Andrew Luck is coming back at some point, but how happy is he going to be if it's week two? becomes a question mark. The best will know that, but then again, the best want a chance to start all year long, not just one game. But I want to mention, because everybody keeps mentioning Colin Kaepernick, the things that are going along off the field that are keeping Colin Kaepernick out of a camp are absolutely not worth anything to the Colts for 1 week. I mean, they're even less for 1 week than a Jay Cutler's headache would be in cutting Jay Cutler. That said, I mean, what Colin Kaepernick is being kept out of camp for is really ridiculous to me. It's just the Colts don't need any part of anything because they're going to have their quarterback in the first couple weeks anyway.
Jay Cutler,
they don't need to pull up with anything.
Jay Cutler's how old? 36?
At least.
Commands $10 million a season.
Yeah.
Colin Kaepernick's not playing for $4 million,
folks. He's going to get something. And you'd think he would want to play also.
It's not $5 million. Yeah. It's not $6 million. His agent isn't shopping him. His agent is shopping him at a starting quarterback price in the league.
There's a lot
of Super Bowl playing quarterback in the league.
A lot of people are saying Colin Kaepernick is being blackballed at this point in time. The Colts don't even need to be part of that because they just don't have a year-long opening or anything even close to that to even be bothered with the conversation. I realize people want to throw it out there because Andrew Luck is not ready at day one. I get that. But they don't have a quarterback position open. They have a game position open from the sounds of it. Maybe two. They don't need something that's going to be longer
than that. And
there's
a misnomer in the NFL. Well, you can just cut them. They don't have guaranteed contracts. They count against your cap.
Something does, yeah.
Oh, of course something does, because everybody would sign everybody for any price they wanted and just cut them if there's no penalty.
Yeah.
So you have to remember that. Now, we talked about this last week. The Colts have a ton of money ready for next year. So if you're going to go through the Andrew Luck kind of out early in the season, rebuild this defense year one, $50 million in the kitty next year, you don't want to waste $10 million of it. You don't want to waste 20% of it, a guy that might not play in the last 14 weeks.
Exactly right.
That makes no financial sense. That makes no football sense. If you're rebuilding, that makes even less sense.
And,
so
if you're
that goes to Jay Cutler. That goes to anybody else.
And if you're admitting to the entire team you're going to bring in a name for 2 weeks and then get rid of him, that goes through the locker room. Everybody in the locker room sees
you know
that
what that
situation.
Says? It says Ballard's an idiot.
Exactly.
The brand new guy here has no idea.
And that they'll throw us around. I mean, if they want to, they'll just throw us around like anybody.
But
and there's some reality of the NFL in there. But still, the team does not want to see a big name come in and make some waves for 2 weeks and then have to go away.
The reality of the NFL is you can't do that at the quarterback position because they command too much money.
Yeah.
No diva wide receiver comes in and gets $12, $14 million a year at this time.
No.
You know, if you want to take a chance on Andre Johnson or Plaxico Burress, or who was the guy here from the Colts took a chance on? It wasn't Johnson.
It was Andre Johnson.
No, they brought him in on a 2 year deal or something.
Yeah.
The guy that they gave a second, Hakeem Nicks.
Hakeem Nicks, yeah. Another one.
$4 or $5 million. Okay. Yeah. That's not $10 or $11 million.
Hey, Calvin Johnson isn't too old yet.
Geez, come back, please. but the issue is you have to be smart. There are repercussions financially.
Yeah.
There are repercussions in the locker room, as you mentioned. And what it tells your team is you've panicked.
Yeah.
You have had months. We just gave you the timeline. Of this. You have had months to sort this out and figure it out. Mm-hmm. The only thing I'll listen to is there's a setback in his recovery.
Right. Andrew Luck is now out for 10 weeks.
Yes. He's on the PUP. Six weeks guaranteed.
And we don't know when he's going to be back because of whatever you call it.
Or he has to have another procedure or he has to have whatever else is done with that.
Different situation.
So, from what we've heard, it sounds like stay the course, been on the rehab train, doing everything the doctors want, update from the team owner telling you his situation. That's why we're trying to put Colts fans at ease here. This isn't ridiculous. Mm-hmm. If it was, we just gave you the five reasons why they would have fixed it or when they should have fixed it, and they haven't. Deep breath.
Yeah.
You want Luck to be perfect.
Oh, it sucks. Don't
oh, yeah.
Wrong. It sucks not knowing when he's going to be coming
Absolutely.
Back and be full strength. I mean, this sucks.
And it sounds like
But it could be a lot worse.
Sounds like reading between the lines as well. The jockey is up on the reins, and they are not letting the horse run because they want this not to be screwed up into week six or week 10.
Force it.
Or waste another season.
Right.
They're holding the reins back, and when it's time to let him go, I don't think you have to worry about Andrew Luck's competitive fire, his knowledge of picking the game back up again, his willingness to get popped in the mouth.
Yeah.
He wants to get out there and bleed, eat, and sleep football.
And, hey, week one we'll see the perfect example of how you screw up a quarterback situation in the last few years. I think they might have averaged 9 points offensively last year.
The Rams will show you.
Atrocious. Got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is our phone, and we'll talk a little golf. New major champion at the PGA back in just a couple minutes. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Quick programming notes again for you. We've got Cubs, or Reds baseball, rather, against the Cubs.
It's not inaccurate.
It's the Reds baseball here on WGCL.
Brought
to
you by Royal South Toyota. Thank
against
you.
The Cubs. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 8 o'clock, first pitch for all three of those. So don't go too far. On Saturday night, we'll have Colts preseason football continuing. They are at Dallas. Kickoff is 7 o'clock, and the broadcast starts at 6 o'clock here on WGCL. And then on Friday, we kick off our high school football season with South heading up to Brownsburg, a rematch of last year's opener here in Bloomington. It was 28-26 Brownsburg in a tight one. Came down to the last 20 seconds or so of that game even. But South goes on the road for this one, and Brownsburg no longer has the top quarterback recruit in America, which I don't know if it'll make things easier, but it seems like it would. But that kicks off our season this Friday night. 7 o'clock kickoff, 6:30 Chalk Talk Friday night for that. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. We had our fourth golf major of the year, the four major championships, and three of the champions this year are first-time major winners. In this case, the PGA winner, Justin Thomas, 24-year-old kid. And I think I saw a graphic, Glass. You're the big golf guy here. You do a lot with it. The last two major winners, now Jordan Spieth we already knew about, but he and Justin Thomas are the two youngest back-to-back major winners or something to this effect, either ever or since like 1923. It's like literally absurd how young these two guys are. Now, does that matter anymore? It's interesting, at the very least. Young kids, young guys winning. You've had a lot of first-time major winners in the last couple of years, with Jordan Spieth being, I think, the only one in 3 years that isn't a first-time major winner. But you're getting guys that are really good players. Some young, some have been around a while, but really good players getting their turn. And nice to see the way Justin Thomas played in particular on Sunday on a very tough golf course.
It was a tough golf course, and here are your facts and figures. Won the PGA Championship age 24 or younger. Woods twice, Nicklaus, Rory, and now Justin Thomas. So that's tells you something. First player in under 25 to win their first major at the PGA Championship in 82 years.
Wow.
That's pretty strong. And the youngest to win the PGA Championship, he is. It's McIlroy, Nicklaus, Woods, and then Thomas. 24 years, 3 months. They all did it earlier than he did. Jordan Spieth turned 24, I want to say July 27th. He was looking to complete the career Grand Slam at quite an early age as well. The course was Quail Hollow Club. It was redone extensively before the PGA of America showed up. It's usually a tour stop. It has been since 2003. It's Tom Fazio. And if you've heard that name before, well, he's in charge of all the redoings at Augusta over the last 15 to 20 years, tiger proofing and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So it shouldn't surprise you that this course played, about 7,600 yards the entire weekend.
How did everybody miss, going into this, all the experts, how did they all miss how hard the greens were going to be? Because you didn't get that beforehand, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, my God.
Well, they should have, because in the simple mathematics of it all, they replaced the greens. They were tearing out the greens in the first five holes last year in May when John Rahm and James Hahn and Roberto Castro were in a playoff, and there was construction equipment on the first five holes tearing it out. So that was part of it. They resurfaced all 18 greens, and when you lay down new grass in that short of a period, it doesn't have time to settle. So what is it going to be? It's naturally going to be firm.
Yeah.
It's not going to be rooted in and soft and everything else. Obviously, the PGA has a little sadisticness to them.
They sure did on Saturday.
And they want the greens to be at a challenge. And when you put in the greens they do, Champions Bermuda was its G12 Champion Bermuda. The reason these courses put this stuff in is because it can handle the heat, they can cut it short, and they can get it really slick.
Mm-hmm.
So when the course is wet and balls stick in the fairway, and what's the defense? The defense is the greens.
That's it.
They have the sub-air system underneath it, which means they can keep them dry no matter how much it rains. They blow the air underneath them. Mm-hmm. The grass dries out. So you couldn't have wet greens. You couldn't have wet fairways and wet greens.
Right.
You can't do it both that way. So the PGA could have said, sure, let's have it. I don't think the PGA wanted to see what Aaron Hill saw, which was scores of 63, Justin Thomas. Remember that name? Well, that's kind of weird. But they did get him anyhow. Francesco Molinari shot 64. Hideki Matsuyama shot 64 on Friday when it was wet. After that storm, when it was dry, they couldn't do anything in the middle of play, and they took advantage of it. The golf course is difficult. Part of me liked it, and part of me didn't like it in the sense that there was three or four holes everybody was making birdie on.
Yeah.
And if you give birdies out like that, I don't know.
What's the point then, right?
Well, it's a drivable par four. You hit a 3-wood short, you chip on, and you two putt, or you can get up and down for a par, whatever it is. But the last three holes provided trying not to screw up more than trying to win a golf tournament. I think that's what is going to help Thomas with this victory. The last three holes, the Green Mile, as they referred to more, were so difficult
that
his birdie on 17 was absolutely fantastic. Yeah. 7-iron, 221 yards to 14 feet, makes the putt.
Yeah.
2-shot lead, game is over. That's a fantastic golf shot. But when you see guys coming down the stretch, trying to keep it out of the water, trying to survive, it was a little bit more U.S. Open-y than it was PGA Championship-y. They played it at par 71, so they took a par 5 out of it. But it was the first five holes every day was a survival test.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those deals where I almost like the regular tour stop more than I like this change to it. Why they felt they had to change it, I don't know. It's hard to argue with Tom Fazio. That's who, you know, Augusta attracts. Jimmy Harris, the guy they couldn't stop talking about all weekend that owns Quail Hollow, and it's his deal, is an Augusta member. He's friends with Fazio. They wanted to do this. Remember, they tore up this course like 6 months before the PGA was going to be here.
Mm-hmm.
They had three different construction companies working on different holes to hurry up and get this done.
Yeah.
So it felt a little inorganic, but the neat story about Thomas – he missed three cuts in a row before he was T28 last week at Firestone. The reason he was T28 was simple. There was no cut in the field, so everybody made it.
Mm-hmm.
But he still played well enough. His dad's a PGA pro. His grandfather was a PGA pro. It's a really neat story.
He had the best round of Saturday at the U.S. Open.
He did, 63.
63. And then
the
next day, he kind of went the other direction, which is not shocking. We have a great round. A lot of times you see that. But you're always afraid how a guy is going to react after that situation in a final round. Didn't have a great few weeks.
No, he didn't.
And then comes back here and has a real nice week.
I don't think anybody's ever questioned his talent. I think they questioned whether he could be, as in his own words, patient enough, smart enough to complete it.
Mm-hmm.
And at 24, who says you have to be? But I wrote about this yesterday. Shooting 63, getting into the final group or the final two groups, whatever it was, at Erin Hills in the U.S. Open, you learn from those experiences. You wonder, well, why hasn't Ricky Fowler won yet? Well, good point. Why hasn't Matsuyama won? We shot 66 there to kind of backdoor it at Erin Hills. But he had a chance in his first hole of the day, I think, in that final round. He hit the ball far left as possible, made double, and his whole round went down the toilet.
Went out, yep.
Well, you've seen Rory McIlroy hit it in the cabins at the Masters. Mm-hmm. You have to go through a little of this drive to find it out.
Justin Thomas bogeyed the first hole on Sunday.
He sure did.
You know, but he righted it and got some, you know,
and
some
then
shots
he
to go.
The last, what, 16, 15 holes and 3 or 4 under. It was a pretty commanding performance. Mm-hmm. The reason you like Thomas this week is he hits the ball a mile. He was 62nd in fairways out of 72 guys. That's the one thing about golf that some people just don't care for, and I can see why. The guy that hits it a mile and doesn't hit a ton of greens, just hits the ones he hits.
But there were some guys in here. I mean, the Bombers
Kisner,
course
Kuchar,
was what was being talked about going into this because of the wetness.
It was.
But for three and a half days, you had some guys in there that weren't Bombers. I mean, you mentioned Kisner. You didn't have
Chris
to be a
Stroud
Bomber to be in the right spot
far.
Here.
You don't. But again, a guy that hits it a mile ended up winning the golf tournament. Brooks Koepka hit it a mile at Brooks Koepka's he's what, 26, 27. All these kids are rubber bands.
Mm-hmm.
Koepka's biggest, he hit one club outside of 7-iron at a 7,800-yard course at Erin Hills.
Jeez.
Well, if you give them fairways that are 60 yards wide and you let them swing as hard as they can, who's going to have the advantage? Matt Kuchar plays great, tied for ninth, sneaks in the back door. Kevin Kisner lost a little bit of money late, falling apart. But to have these young kids again, Koepka's what, 26 or 27, Jordan Spieth 24, Thomas is 20. I mean, that's a pretty impressive run of majors there. And Sergio gets his major. Speaking of scar tissue, he had enough of it over the years to, hey, I'm gonna play on Sunday. I'm going to play my game. I'm tired of losing these, and I'm going to go out there and do it.
Let me ask you about Justin Thomas long term here. As you mentioned, everybody's known this kid's had talent.
Yeah.
There was a question between
fourth
the ears.
Fourth win this year.
Yeah. I mean, there was a question the ears. How not that he was bad, but how would it go? You know, how would he be? Would he be a hothead? Would it be hot and cold? What would it be? Is this kid?
It does blow a little.
It's been a great year, no question. Is this kid one of the prodigies, like the Fowlers, like the Spieths, like these young guys, like the Koepkas at this point in time, or is it way too early to tell about him?
The last guys to win more than four tournaments in a year were Jason Day and Jordan Spieth in 2015. They won five. Mm-hmm. And before that, it was a guy named Woods.
Right.
So it doesn't happen very often to win that many times on tour. I don't think you can fake it. He won back-to-back events in Hawaii earlier in the year.
But is it a year?
Is it a year? No,
or is it a decade?
I think once the dam broke, he's going to go. Remember, this is only his 10th major.
Mm-hmm.
That's not bad.
And I'm not talking dominance.
No.
It's hard. You can't say dominance in golf nowadays.
Phil Mickelson didn't dominate when Tiger left the game.
Nobody has.
And he's the best player that was not named
Tiger.
You
can throw out names, but none of those names have dominated.
Right. It's a little bit different mindset this day and age. Why? All these kids coming out of junior golf have money, sponsors, and everything else. They are not playing for paychecks. Yeah. They are playing for victories. It's different.
That's right.
They don't care. You know what? They don't care if they miss a cut. They don't care if they come in T38th.
Mm-hmm.
They want to win. And if they don't win, they're really not concerned with what goes on with it.
Yeah.
That mindset will lead to MC, T28 win.
Right.
Because you get it right the fifth time.
Mm-hmm.
You hit it a mile. You putt it a mile.
And it does seem like they brush it off more often.
They don't
really
care.
Does,
These guys have a bad day. They go down to the Bahamas for a weekend and get goofy.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Does Justin Thomas have
a
putting stroke?
Absolutely.
To last long term.
Justin Thomas, when he originally came on tour, putted a lot better than he's putting now.
Okay.
So you kind of like Jordan Spieth, great putter, can't putt this year,
right.
But he's first and second greens in regulation. So you always go through these little bit of cycles. Nobody's going to be like Tiger anymore where it's first, second. Not in results.
Right,
in fairways, in greens, chipping, putting,
that's why
all
I said
those
that.
Great stats.
That's dominance.
Justin
Nobody
Thomas
else is coming close
is
to it.
The thing that people I can't believe don't marvel more in him is he's 150 yards and hits it a mile.
Yeah,
that's the part of golf that should sell golf.
Right.
You don't have to be 6'2" Brooks Koepka and built like a linebacker, or 6'4" Dustin Johnson, a freak athlete.
Right.
Justin Thomas is 5'9", 150 pounds, and hits a ball 350 yards for breakfast.
And up on the leaderboard, you had Oosthuizen's like that. Fowler's like
hits
that.
Hits it a mile.
But they're small guys.
They are.
I mean, he's 5'10". He's puny. Fowler's no big guy.
But that's your selling point. This does not have to be gargantuans of the game. This is a 150-pound kid who's probably in the top 10 in driving distance on tour.
Yeah.
Is he a nice player? He's a fantastic player. He has the pedigree. He's gone through the junior golf. He runs around. He's best friends with Fowler and Spieth, guys that all win golf tournaments. They all hang out together for a reason, folks.
The best picture see all year long is him and Spieth when they're both
drinking
about 12 or 14 years old and they're eating cheeseburgers in his face.
At a junior golf tournament.
Yeah.
So these guys have done it. They've been under pressure for that long.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, Thomas's dad's a pro. His grandfather was a pro. Always been around golf his whole life. Yeah, that to me lasts longer than John Daly comes out and bombs away a cricket stick and wins it. This is a kid that's been programmed, groomed, whatever word you like to use for it, moving forward. We have said that about Adam Scott. We have said that about Jason Day.
Mm-hmm.
We have said that about a lot of other guys that have only won one major championship. What we learn is golf is hard. You go back the last 10 majors, what is it, 8 brand new guys?
Yeah,
Garcia, Stenson, Day,
is the only one.
Walker.
Yeah.
You're talking about big name guys that are playing international teams, obviously.
That's right, Johnson, Koepka, and there's a bunch of them.
Yeah.
One of them.
They all have one.
I think it's the last 3 years. The only
Spieth's
guy who's got multiple is Spieth.
That's it. And before that, it was McIlroy. It's not easy to do. That's the point. And when you have talent and you surround yourself with other guys that expect to win all the time, it's not a fluke.
Right.
It's not a fluke. I'm not telling you Smiley Kaufman's going to come out and start winning major tournaments, but he's in the club for a reason, guys. Keep your eyes on it.
So next up, who wins the Masters?
The Masters is April of next year. It's just 200. The guy with the lowest four-round total. That's who won it. But this makes it fun. You have all these guys that are buddies, and you have all these guys that are great players that only have one major championship
and
they're fighting.
All these guys are winners.
They are.
For a long time, we saw a lot of guys that would choke. These guys seem to get it done in a lot of spots.
They've figured it out, which makes it crazy that McIlroy – that Fowler, Matsuyama haven't won one yet. They're in the fire all the time. They're gonna crust up and win one.
No question.
I guarantee it.
Hey, folks, music means we got to head on out of here.
Snedeker.
Patrick Reed.
The
guys up there. We got to take off. We'll be back Wednesday night. Don't go anywhere. 8:00 first pitch for Reds baseball at the Cubbies, and we'll be back Wednesday. You've been in the zone.